Hello, everyone. This is Trent Young, and I'm here with my good friend, Alan Small. We want to welcome you to the Enduring Churches podcast. We're excited that you've taken some time to be with us, and it's the Christmas season. And so, Alan, we've just been talking about being thankful, and so I'm thankful for you, man.
Well, and I'm certainly thankful for you, and today we're going to talk about something that you and I are so good at. I mean, boy, man, we are the absolute best, right? We're going to talk about finances, especially as we come into Christmas. Because I don't know about you, Trent, but on my side, man, I can certainly think of a few toys I want every Christmas.
Yeah. I was, as you're sitting here saying that we're so good at this, I'm like, okay, he's in Colorado and I'm in Oklahoma. And so if God strikes him, I don't want any molten flesh to come all the way.
Yeah, there's maybe dripping with a little bit of sarcasm there. You know, my family said, Dad, you don't have anything on your Christmas list. So I went in and started finding a bunch of stuff for my Jeep. And you know, it's amazing how greedy you can get really fast.
Oh, yeah.
And how you can get so focused on stuff and things and all that kind of stuff. And it's important, you know, especially as we contemplate what 2021 could look like. You know, I want to encourage every pastor to remember the reality that there is likely to be an economic downturn that affects you, that affects your church, mm-hmm. affects a lot. And you need to be prepared more than ever with your finances for 2021.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about the budgeting process with your church, and we've encouraged churches to budget with that in mind, too, with a possible economic downturn. We pray that that's not the case, but there's just too many things around us and signs that look like that could definitely be the case in the years to come. And so, personally, then that affects us, too, right? And so, yeah, we need to keep that in mind and to budget with an economic downturn in view.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe the way we're going to talk about this today is a little bit of just like the stories in Scrooge, the ghost of finances past, the ghost of finances present, and the ghost of finances future here. But let's talk a little bit about this today, Trent. Let's begin. How about if we begin with the ghost of finances past here?
Well, and that's a great term because there are a lot of us that are dealing with finances, and it seems like a ghost that keeps haunting us. It keeps showing up. And so, you know, we need to look at our past and the decisions we made. It's kind of a cleanup on aisle 9 kind of deal sometimes. And so here's what we want you to do is we want you to go and evaluate some of your past decisions. Have you made good decisions or bad decisions, and have you learned from those? So I think that's one of the first things that you need to do as you look at your past.
Yeah. And the truth is you're going to see a lot of mistakes. We all make financial mistakes. And at the time you thought it was a financial smart decision, and then later you learn it was a mistake. Well, you know, use that and learn from that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, in the 80s when everyone was really trying to begin pushing timeshares. You mm-hmm. know, now the biggest part of the timeshare business is getting people out of their timeshare. You know, what seemed like a good decision in the moment turned out to be a really bad decision. So evaluate, you know, the decisions that you've made.
Right. And so we want you to take a good look at the things and, you know, your decisions from the past. Take a look at all the parts of your finances. How did those decisions affect your cash flow? How did they affect your debt load? And that will automatically affect your credit score. And so you need to, you know, think through that. And make a list of your debts. Dave Ramsey talks a bunch about that, making a list. And, you know, gosh, if you're not familiar with Dave Ramsey, it was like, what rock have you been living under? But it's important to do the snowball deal that he talks about. And then he also talks about the savings part of that, too. So,
yeah. And, you know, it's not easy. It's certainly not easy. And we are notoriously bad savers. And in ministry, I recognize a lot of times you make so little that it's hard to put any into savings, but it's important to begin building up emergency funds and all those types of matters, because again, we are going to have periods, whether it's next year or 10 years from now, there's going to be some kind of economic downturn. And you need to be ready for that. You need to have some money in savings. Plus, Trent and I are a little bit older, and if you're younger than us, we question whether or not we're going to have Social Security someday.
Yeah.
If you're younger than us, you really need to question whether or not you're going to have any Social Security someday.
Mm-hmm. And let me just throw out, there's for ministers, there's a lot of people that will try to encourage you to opt out of Social Security. I would say don't do that, because then you're automatically, not only you're opting out of the Social Security benefits, but also you're opting out of Medicare, Medicaid, all those things that would, if you don't have insurance. I've had heart issues. I had a friend that he could not get insurance because he had heart issues and he had opted out of Social Security. So yeah, just keep that in mind.
Yeah, it's an important decisions to make, is to make sure that you give yourself as many options as you can give yourself as you're making those decisions through your life. So, that's kind of the past. You need to go into an evaluated process, admit your mistakes. I think that's really hard. So you evaluate them, you admit your mistakes, but look and see where your money's going, because it all needs a place, needs a designation. And, we all have the months that creep up on us. And we certainly had one of those months this month. This month was one of those where we're like, okay, I guess we're going to be rebuilding up some of our emergency fund, because we're going to use quite a bit of it this month. And you know what? Those things happen. But then how do we deal with the present? How do you make a decision right now? And that can be a little bit, I don't know, I guess it's a complicated. It's not always easy.
That's true. And, we were talking earlier about, what is our year 2021 looking like? And we mentioned that you might want to budget with that in mind. So one of the things I think is important for you as you look at this coming year, what's happening right now, is to begin to think long-term. Lots of problems that we encountered in our past was because we did not think long-term. And I've not been good at that over the years. I have a toy that I want and I'm going to go get it. And so then that bites me in the butt long-term. So right now we want you to, Alan, we were talking about that our property taxes will probably go up and things like that, and then economic downturn things. So begin to think and plan with that in mind.
Yeah, so think long term. And the short term is immediate satisfaction. I have to have this now. Long term is I can wait. I can be patient. And so you don't want to be reactive. And, Trent, you gave us this idea, ask your 70-year-old self how you would make this decision. And there's one of my financial decisions. My dog ate a room of carpet. He locked himself in a room the other day, and he actually ate the carpet trying to get out of that room. And so that's one of my, as my wife would tell me, one of my financial mistakes that I've made. What would my 70-year-old self say to me about the decision that I've made?
Right. I think it's important, as we're thinking about the present time, and we say to think long term, you want to make decisions based on how you want to live when you're 70. There's a good chance that you will live to be that long. Live to be that old, excuse me. And so, how are you going to live? And you've got to make decisions now in order, it's hard, we don't think that way, but we need to think about that and ask ourselves, how would my 70-year-old self make this decision looking back?
Yeah, and you know, when you think about that, you start to rethink the importance of some of those things and some of those things that you have. You know, Rochelle and I, every time we kind of go through a room, we're like, do we really need this? And we find ourselves wanting to get to a more and more simple place in our lives. And I think that that's part of what, as we get older, we really need to start thinking about that. Living leaner, living simpler. And those things are important. You know, I think that's one thing that I will just praise the generation after us. I think they live a lot more for experiences in many ways than they do for stuff. And, you know, I admire that because the experiences are the things that you take with you in the long term. But many of them will also sacrifice a lot of good decisions for an immediate experience, just as some of us might sacrifice a future for a thing. And so you have to really weigh the benefit of the experience over time as well.
That's true, you know, and I would agree with you about the next generation. I'm amazed at my kids. They're very smart when it comes to finances. They don't have debt, you know. They do very smart things, and we want to encourage you to do that as well, to be planning. Our church, we took up an offering this past month. We do a different offering every month, and so we did for a group that takes care of those in ministry that have retired, or widows or widowers. You know, it's amazing. There's a lot of people that were in ministry that they lived in a parsonage. They didn't ever have the opportunity to build up any equity, or really, and a lot of small churches didn't have any money to put in retirement for them. And now they have nothing. And so we don't want you to be in that position.
Yeah, and if you are part of a church that still has a parsonage, let me encourage you to find a way to let your pastor buy and own a home. It is still one of the best investments that exist. It encourages a pastor to stay longer when they have their own roots and their own choice of where to live in their community and a sense of ownership in it. And so, and the economic benefits of the parsonage are long gone. By the time you pay Social Security taxes on a parsonage, you usually come out on the wrong side of all of that. And so the tax benefits of buying a piece of property far outweigh the benefits of the church owning the property on behalf of the pastor. So I would encourage you churches to move away from the parsonage method.
That's true, Alan. And you can also claim basically most of your salary as a housing allowance when you do that. And the tax benefits there are way better. So we want to encourage you to move that route. So let's talk about, we've talked about the past, and it is definitely a ghost that bites us in the rear. Our present, that's where we are now. We make decisions that help us to aim toward the future. And so let's talk about, Alan, the ghost of Christmas future. Is your retirement in the bag, or will you be living out of one?
Yeah, you know, Trent, I'll just kind of be honest. About 3 years ago, Rochelle and I did a meeting with our financial planner, and it was not very rosy about our future. And so we've had to make some financial decisions that have helped us, and we're still nowhere near where we should be, but we're certainly a lot closer than we were. But if you don't have an idea where your retirement future is headed, you need to get some help. You need to get someone who can help you forecast where you're headed, because most of us just aim recklessly into the future financially. And what happens is that you're going to realize that you're going to have to go stand out in front of Walmart, you know, and say hi to everyone who comes in at some point because you have to, not because you want to.
Right. And you know, I guess one of the things we want you to be able to move on to a ministry in the future that you want to do. And of course, I hope you want to do the one you're in now. But, and so here's some things that you should be asking yourself. What does your current retirement savings look like? How's that coming together? And then if you were to have to draw out monthly from that, how long would it last? I don't think most people do that calculation. And it, as you said, Alan, it can be really scary.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it's not cheap to grow older. And, you know, when you think about many people retired at 63 in the last 30, 40 years, and many of them have lived to be well into their 80s and 90s and have outlived their means. I know people who hit their 75th birthday and realized they had to go back to work in some form mm-hmm. or fashion, because there just wasn't going to be enough. And, you know, again, if you want to, great, but to do it out of necessity, really does kind of change everything. So, you know, it is important to think about that. And that also means thinking about the age of retirement. I gave up a long time ago the idea that I would be retiring from, you know, full-time ministry at 65. It's not realistic based on, you know, a lot of things that are going on around me, and realizing that the time I spent as a church planter, I got really behind in my retirement. And so, you know, trying to make up for some of that, I am going to have to work longer in a full-time capacity.
Alan, most folks are looking at, you know, in their 70s to retire if they get to. And, you know, I'm only 10 years away from 65. And I'm like, man, I don't think I can put enough money in retirement to be able to live for, you know, a long time. And so keep that in mind. Another thing in the future, Alan, I think that's important, because we may have somebody listening that's younger, has young kids. And I want to tell you, part of your future is to teach your kids how to make long-term decisions. Teach them about your finances, how to deal with savings, how to be a giver, and how to put away money for the future too.
Yeah, I think those things are hugely important. And, you know, the recognition too, that many times pastors, you know, you're not able to help your kids a lot with college. They're going to have to earn it with scholarships and work, and, you know, and make some decisions of how they're going to choose to pay for college and for life and all those kinds of things. And then, you know, to fight that feeling too, of that somehow you failed in that, you know, really all of us should train up our kids to earn their own way and to learn how to do that. You know, you want to leave as much of a legacy as you can, but the legacy is more about the character we build in there than it is about the stuff that we leave behind.
You're absolutely right, Alan. So here's some questions that we want to ask you to think about as you're thinking about your future. What is it that you're planning to do? Do you have a plan at all? I think this is a great marriage experience for you to do. Dana and I do this fairly often, and we did this when we first got married, is we got up in our little boy's fort and we ask each other, what do we want our life to be like in 5 years? What do we want our life to be like? And what do we want to be doing in 10 years and 15? So go and do that. And what are you planning to do? And then when are you planning to do it? And that will affect your decisions that you make right now. And another question I think is important, Alan, is what would you really love to do? And you've got to do some planning to get to the point that you're doing what you love to do.
Yeah, I think those are great questions, because again, as we move forward in ministry, you know, it kind of adjusts how we think. And, you know, you and I have had conversations about futures and what our futures look like. And, you know, I remember one time hearing someone say, you never retire from ministry, you just refire for ministry. Mm-hmm. And how important it is for us to recognize that our ministry may change as we get older, but we always need a place of ministry and a place of working. You know, I spent a summer working at Glorieta Baptist Encampment when the Southern Baptist Convention still owned Glorieta, the Camp Glorieta in New Mexico. But there was a gentleman who had retired, and he just wanted to go live at Glorieta and be hospitable to people. He would fill coffee cups and do all those kinds of things. And they ultimately, when he passed, they actually put a little reminder of his ministry there, and that he had given himself to serving others, because he had planned so that he could do something that he just wanted to do. And so we want to find ways to continue serving. And for some people, that might be taking, moving from a lead role to a subordinate role, or it might be going to a bivocational role, or all kinds of things. But don't retire from ministry. You know, you might just change it a little bit.
And the goal of this, Alan, is for us to encourage you to be able to be in charge of your future, not having it thrust upon you. Like you said about being a greeter at Walmart may not be your plan for the future, but if you don't make good decisions now, you may still be looking to do that. And so that's why we are having this whole conversation, is to ask you to make some decisions, to evaluate your past, to look smartly at your present, you know, and make good decisions right now, and then aim at the future that you want to have, the one that you would love to have. And that will change some decisions you make right now.
Yeah, I think it's just so important that we have this conversation. And again, with the landscape changing financially and the continual change that we are under with economics, be future minded. Don't put it all in the present, but remind yourself to live wisely. Take advantage of the moments that you have, but also plan for the future, and not only plan for your financial future, but also your ministry future as well.
Well, Alan, I appreciate everybody listening to this. Thank you, Alan, for having this conversation with me. We do this because we want to be a help and encouragement to you all as you listen. Pastors and their blessing and their future is our heartbeat. And so, you know, if you have an area dealing with finances that we can be an encouragement in, we'd love to do that. If there's something in your church that you just need to talk through, please contact us. Alan is trained to do a consultation for you. And so you can contact us at alan@enduringchurches.consulting. You can contact me at trent@enduringchurches.consulting, or you can go to our website, enduringchurches.com, or just look for us on Facebook at Enduring Churches. And we want to be there for you because we want you to endure and have a blessed future. So thanks so much for listening today. If you have chances, if you have some ideas to for another podcast episode, please let us know. And please share this. That would be a blessing to us and hopefully to someone else too. God bless you, and thanks for listening.